And the Lord help us to commence with hymn 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. Hymn 902. Reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, reading down to verse 40. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, as thou hast spared us, dear Lord, to once more gather in this thy house of prayer, oh, we do seek that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, the mountains might float down at thy sweet presence. Oh, may we be favoured to feel thy presence in our hearts and within these walls, and that we may approve what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, we would come with that desire of those of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, we pray thou wilt give us grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. And oh Lord, how we need that grace given to us to, from our hearts, confess our many, many sins. O Lord, we would come pleading for mercy, pleading to be washed in thy precious blood, to be cleansed from all sin and from all uncleanness. Oh, how often we have to come with the dear poet when he said, Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And O Lord, how we need that washing, how we need that cleansing, and how we need thee to clothe us in thy glorious righteousness. Oh, may we be favoured, Lord, in our souls this night with a sweet taste of Calvary's peace. The one said, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. Oh, we pray that we may know more and more of that peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, Lord, we would seek for a spirit of true worship as we gather this evening. Oh, do draw us away from the things of time, the busy scenes of life that many have been in. No, Lord, may we be favoured to hear thy voice. Oh, thou knowest those that long for thee to speak to them. And thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, may we have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May we hear thy still, small voice, like Elijah did of old. No, Lord, now we need thee to teach us continually. We seem so often so slow to learn. We would pray with the psalmist, that I know not, teach thou me. Thou knowest, Lord, our foolishness, our ignorance. Oh, how we need thee to make us wise unto salvation, and to give us that wisdom that cometh from above. And, oh, Lord, may it please thee to go before us in all the untrodden steps of life's journey. Oh, do keep us, Lord, in thy fear. And oh, do keep us from sin and from evil and everything that's grieving to thee. But oh, Lord, do keep us at thy dear feet, that we may be truly humbled as a legion of old, who sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Oh, do grant to us, Lord, the mind and the spirit of Christ. We pray that thou wilt prepare us for thy will. Grant us grace to be submissive to thy mind and will in all things. Help us to lie passive at thy dear feet, and to know no will but thine. And may we be prepared, dear Lord, for a solemn eternity, for the hour and article of death. And may we be amongst those that are ready, waiting for thy coming, and clothed in thy glorious righteousness. May our desire be with the hymn writer continually, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, for thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. And we would seek, dear Lord, for that grace to endure to the end, that we might hold on our way. Do bless, Lord, the dear young ones here and those that gather on thy holy day. Lord, do bless the Sabbath school and thy truth as it is set forth there. And may it enter into the hearts of the young and bear fruit to thy honour and glory. Oh, do keep them, Lord, in these evil days from all the snares of this world and the attractions of it. May there be raised up among them those that shall fear thy holy name and that shall be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. And, O Lord, where thou hast begun thy work, oh, we pray thou wilt carry it on and perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, where thou hast begun thy work, may there be a deepening of that work, that many may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Who will remember the dear young ones in their work, Lord, and at school, and those in their seeking partners in life, husbands, wives, Lord. We pray that they may each commit their way to Thee and see Thee provide for them. For, Lord, nothing is too hard for them. Help those in middle age in all the burdens and cares and exercises they have. Oh, do help them, Lord, to cast all their burdens and cares upon Thee. And may they have the sweet assurance Thou carest for them. Undertake for those, Lord, that are oppressed sore by Satan. Oh, do command deliverance, we beseech Thee, and cast the adversary out. Those, dear Lord, that have impossible things, oh, do come, Lord, and grant, we pray, faith to believe that there is nothing too hard for Thee or impossible with Thee. Oh, do strengthen our little faith, we pray. And, oh, may it please Thee to remember those that carry offspring. Do help them, Lord, in their path and undertake for them and give them strength and help each day. And may they be given safe deliverance at the appointed time. Lord, we do pray for those in affliction. Many of Thy dear people are laid aside. Oh, we do beg that Thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. And Thy dear servants too in their affliction. And, oh, if it be Thy holy will, do send that needed healing. And, oh, do grant restoring mercies if it would please Thee. And may there be yet much good brought forth from these afflictions, and Thy name honoured and glorified. And, oh, Lord, may each of Thy servants be granted the anointing of Thy Spirit and that gracious liberty in preaching of the Word. And may it bear fruit to Thy honour and to Thy glory. May there be the blessed application of the Word, Lord. Oh, do come and apply it. Remember our dear aged friends, may they in all their weaknesses be made strong. May they know much of Thy visits and have that sweet assurance that the eternal God is their refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. Who bless this corner of Thy vineyard, we beseech Thee. We pray thou wilt pour out thy Spirit here and in our own flock and in Zion. May there be yet many born again, prodigals brought to return. And may there be those set at liberty, Lord, from all the bondage of sin and Satan. And that they might yet declare to the King's household what a dear Saviour they have found. Lord, we beg of thee to work, both in our hearts, in our churches, and throughout Zion, and throughout this nation, if it would please thee. And oh, do put in the hearts of our leaders and rulers a desire to seek thee. May there be yet men of grace and heavenly wisdom, God-given integrity raised up to guide this land aright under thy blessed hand. Oh, in the midst of deserved wrath, dear Lord, remember mercy still. Turn us, O Lord, we do beseech thee, and we shall be turned. Save us, and we shall be saved. Remember all that we would and should pray for, and we beg of thee to preserve to us thy holy day and holy word, and deliver us from all the laws that are contrary to thy word. May they yet be all rooted out and overturned. May we once again be a land that truly seeks thee. And we would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy many, many mercies, and crown thee Lord of all. Oh, help us to render unto thee the calves of our lips in real praise. And oh, may our hearts be indicted by thy Spirit to bless and praise thy holy name. Who help the deacons in all the weights and burdens upon them, and may the hymns they give out be made a blessing to thy people and to their own souls. Lord, who anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this evening. Pray for that voice to speak, a hearing ear to thy dear people. May we not be a burden to any of them. And oh, may they lose sight of this poor sinner and see no man save Jesus only. And may thy word, Lord, be suited to every sinner's case. Who come and be with us, we beseech thee. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. And oh, do bless our flock as they gather for prayer this evening. Oh, hear their prayers for us, as we would seek to pray for them. We ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus, seeking the pardon of all our many sins, for his great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. And we read the 10th and 11th verses. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. This is no doubt one of the greatest and most blessed messages that was ever dispatched from heaven, what is set before us here. The glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus. Now I want us helped to look first of all who this was spoken to. It was not spoken by the angel, was it? To the kings and princes, the governors, the rulers of the nation. It was spoken by God through his angel to the shepherds, to unlearned, humble, tender men. And it was they that were to hear these blessed tidings. And what sacred tidings they were. Secondly, there was a sacred message to be delivered to them. And the first part of this message was this: Fear not. There's no doubt, as they saw the angel of God descend from heaven, they began to fear. You know, there are many times we fear when we come into troubles, afflictions, and distresses on them. But are there times when we fear before a holy God? It's a wonderful position to be in, and yet a searching, solemn position to be in when we have to tremble before the Lord and fear before him. You think of Zacharias, he feared when the tidings of heaven were set forth that John the Baptist should be born. And there are many sacred characters such as Moses and Elijah and others throughout the Old Testament that feared before the majesty of God. And these shepherds, though naturally they were not men of fear, because they were diligent in caring for their flocks. You will notice they didn't just care for them in the day, they cared for them throughout the night. They were not only, as I have said, unlearned and humble men, but they were diligent men. And may this be a lesson to us each. Are we humble? Are we diligent like they were? They were diligent in their occupation. And it was in the night season that they were to view this sacred event. You know, some of us have known what it is to fear much in the night, haven't we? Especially in times of great trial and anxiety. But are there not those times when we've had some sweet nights? David said in one of his psalms, didn't he, of the Lord visiting him in the night. And this is what he did for these shepherds. But oh, let us look a little at this fear not. It was a word that was so suited to their case, wasn't it? They had much to make them fear, because of all that was taking place, and it may be this evening why the Lord has given me this word. There are those of you that have much to fear tonight. There are many fears that plague the child of God as they venture through this journey here below. The hymn writer said, didn't he, creatures of fear we drag along, and fear where no fear is. But oh, may the Lord whisper this to our hearts this evening as he did to these shepherds. Fear not. Why had they not got to fear? Why have you not got to fear? Why did the precious characters throughout God's word, the Lord spoke of fear not to, have to fear? Well, first of all, because all this and their souls and their standing was all in the hands of their God. Fear not. And you know, when we can feel that all that we are in is in his hand, as I tried to look at a little last evening, and we can say with the dear psalmist, my times are in thy hand. It's a mercy they're not in ours, isn't it? It's a mercy they're not in man's hand, because man would fail, we fail, but the Lord will never fail his dear people. I love those sweet promises. I hope that there are those of you, and believe there are those of you tonight, that know a little of them, where the Lord says, I will never fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now there may be those of you tonight that are fearing the future, things before you, the mountains and great stones you have, and you fear. But here is the sweet antidote to all the fears that the child of God may have. And only the Lord can pronounce this. fear not. If you go back to the Red Sea with the children of Israel, there was ever so many things there they feared, wasn't it? They feared Pharaoh and his house. They were out to destroy the children of Israel. If I remember rightly, I think it came to me very sweetly in the vestry, thinking of it being the last month of the year, and it was the last month of the year in 1968 when I first stood in this pulpit. And the text was then, if I remember rightly, that beautiful word the Lord spoke to the children of Israel there at the Red Sea. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. And I should never forget our late beloved friend Mr. John Curley saying to me in Miss Parrish's house at the close of that day, he said, "You know, you've been the messenger of heaven to me today." And it gave a wonderful bond and union between my heart and him, which lasted till the Lord took him home. Now we have here the very parallel word. You see, they feared Pharaoh, they feared the sea, they feared what the outcome would be. But as the hymn writer say, why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship, spreads the sails to catch the breezes sent to waft us through the deep, to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. Fear not. And you know, the Lord was to take away all those fears they had. We think of the disciples when they were tossed around in the sea and the Lord Jesus came to them walking upon the sea, and what did he say? Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. They were afraid. And there may be those of you tonight that are full of fear, but you've got to come into that place to need such a word as this. Just those dear shepherds needed it, didn't they? And only the Lord could give it to them. Now, I could spend much time on this, but just briefly, you see, there are the fears we may have concerning our souls. There are the fears we may have concerning the future, the unknown why. There are those fears you may have in providence. There are those fears you may have in affliction. We're poor, fearful characters, and there may be you young ones that have those fears tonight, that the Lord will not answer your prayers, or us that are older too, he seems to turn a deaf ear. And you fear Satan, because he is such a mighty and great foe. But poor soul, Satan's in the Lord's hand. He can't go one step against your soul or mine without the Lord giving him leave. The Lord said to him, didn't he, concerning Job, thus far shalt thou go, and no further. And the devil couldn't go another inch. What a mercy that is. He tried to destroy Job. He tried to destroy Elijah. There are many of God's dear children, he tries to destroy them and destroy their little hope and destroy their faith and they fear. But poor soul, here's the sweet antidote to it. Fear not. And then, what was the effect of this? And what will be the effect of it in your soul? It will bring a sweet calming effect. A settling effect. Which only the Lord can bring. And that's a blessed place when we can feel it. Well, much further could be said on that. The angel said unto them, fear not. Why? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you. For behold. Now, I've said many times before that wherever we have this word behold in God's holy word, you will find that something very important is to follow it. It meant these dear shepherds had got to pause, to consider, to view what was to come. For behold, I bring you. Look how personal this is. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply it to some poor soul tonight. I bring you. And when the Lord brings you, brings such a word to you, he'll bring it with divine power and divine authority. I bring you. And he was to bring them this sweet and sacred message, you see. Good tidings of great joy. And of course this good tidings of great joy was to be the sweet announcement of heaven that Christ was born. And what tidings it was to their ears, wasn't it? If you and I are brought to feel our wretchedness, our sin, by the Holy Spirit's divine teaching, and what vile sinners we truly are before the God of heaven, what we shall need are those sweet tidings that are set forth in this text. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Here was the blessed message of the Saviour coming down into this earth to be born of a woman. Born under the law and to suffer for poor, wretched, vile sinners. What tidings it was, wasn't it? May we not just consider this at this season of the year, but may it be a living reality to us right the way through the year. But there are many sweet tidings that, and I just feel it laid upon me to name them, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You think of the tidings that were to be brought to the wise men. The tidings that were to be brought to Simeon that we read of and Anna. They look for the day of this glorious tidings of Christ being born. They waited for the day. If you look back through the Old Testament, you will find that all those dear women that were barren, such as Sarah and Hannah and Manoah's wife, just to name a few, many others, they all prayed for a man child. And why did they pray for this? That they might be, if it was the Lord's will, the favoured women to bring forth the precious Son of God. And I believe, you know, though the Lord gave them their request and he gave them those sons in his time, they knew what it was spiritually and in their souls to bring forth the Son of God. Because as they brought forth those precious sons, they knew in their souls what it was for Christ to be exalted in them. He was to be brought forth, but they were not to be the favoured women like Mary was here to bring forth the precious Saviour. This was God's appointment, you say. Oh, it was. The barren had brought forth, but here was a virgin to bring forth that knew no man. The Holy Ghost came upon her. I love those words. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Precious words, aren't they? And may we know them, and not only at this season, but may it be so at this season, but right the way through the year. I bring you good tidings. They'd heard, if I may put it like this, in days past, so many evil tidings, and we live in a solemn day today where we hear so many evil tidings. But here were some good tidings, and how does it encourage the child of God when they are favoured to hear good tidings on them. The good tidings the Lord has blessed this one or blessed that one. The good tidings that the Lord has filled his dear children with his love, that they can run in his ways. They're good tidings. And the good tidings that the Lord has applied the word with power. Oh, these good tidings. But what are good tidings that your soul needs tonight? Well, firstly, those that are well burdened and weighed down by sin will long to hear the sweet tidings, son. Thy sins are the many are all forgiven. Oh, what sacred tidings. And Christ came to deliver this to his dear children. Good tidings. And as the tidings reach the ears and hearts of those that are so burdened and weighed down by sin, what will be the sweet effect of it? All those sins that so trouble you will all be gone. And it's a very sacred place, you know. What does the hymn writer say? If sin be pardoned, I'm secure. And oh, to feel these sweet tidings in your soul, the Lord pronouncing, like he did to the dear woman, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. What tidings it was to that dear woman. Go in peace. And the only way she could go in peace as she hears those tidings was because all her sin was removed. Not only that her affliction of body was removed, but all the affliction in her soul. And it was all caused by sin. I bring you. It's personal, you see. I love the wording. Dear Mr. Wood used to often mention it when he preached, you know, these little words. And you know, the older I get, the more I feel the sweetness of this. I bring you. This is what the Lord was speaking, and may speak it into each of our hearts tonight. I bring you. Nobody else. You. Personal, you say. Good tidings, the good tidings that here was one, born and laid in Bethlehem's manger, that could put away all the sin of his dear bride, his church. And the only way it could be put away was it was for him to come into this earth and to suffer and to bleed and to die. And think of the good tidings of those beautiful words of Calvary. It is finished. You know what it is to have those tidings in your heart and mind? Why do we long for them? It is finished. You know, many sermons could be preached on those beautiful words, couldn't they? Are there those things in your heart you long to the Lord to finish? The apostle had a beautiful view of it when he said to the Philippian church, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. It'll be he that finishes it, you see. And it's he that has finished all the sins of his people by putting them all away. He said, didn't he, I will cast them into the depths of the sea. One of the old preachers used to say, and the devil with the longest fish hook he might get can never get them back up. Oh, what tidings. Oh, how sweet the tidings would be to your poor heart tonight, wouldn't it, if the Lord told you this? That all those sins that trouble you are cast into the depths of the sea. As far, he says, as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions from before. You can never measure from the east to the west, can you, nor can any man. And so far, he says, have I removed thy transgressions from before thee. I bring you good tidings. Oh, what a mercy it be at this sacred season, and as we think of the new year, if we're spared, if it be a year of good tidings, wouldn't it? It'll rejoice the church in Swavesey, it'll rejoice my flock at home to hear the tidings. of sinners born again, of those that love the Lord, filled with his love, that they have to run in his ways. I bring you good tidings. The good tidings that he has answered your prayer. Oh, you think of those sweet tidings that Eli, who had completely misjudged dear Hannah, and supposed that she had been drunken. But oh, the Lord sent him back with some beautiful tidings to her, didn't he? Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. Oh, the tidings entered right into her soul, didn't it? And she could go on her way rejoicing. She hadn't got her Samuel yet. But as dear Mr. Simmons said once in preaching from that sacred subject, he said, you know, she got this, and I've never forgot it. She got the sweet assurance that the Lord was on his way in the matter. And you think of that tonight. What tidings it was to her, wasn't it? The Lord was on his way. And you think of these tidings to these dear, fearful shepherds. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Are there those tidings you long to hear from the Lord? The tidings that he came to suffer, to bleed, to die for you. That's a sweet couplet of the hymn. It drops in, so I will name it. The time of love will come. You know, it's one of the first words of sweet hope I ever had in my soul. It was just as though the Lord stood by me and he spoke that word. The time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. And is that what you long for tonight? And you long for the tidings, the Lord to tell you the time will come. But what does the poet go on further to say? Tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveals his love with power. Now, this was a special time of good tidings to these shepherds, and may the Lord favour us with it. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now I know what the free will people would say today. Well, that meant all men. All the inhabitants of the earth, when it says all people. It doesn't mean that at all. It means all that Christ came into this world to save. And it'll be good tidings to them. All that the Father had given him. All that were laid in his heart to suffer, bleed and die for at Calvary. What does he say? Which shall be to all people. All the elect of grace. And they shall all know these tidings. In some sacred measure, I'm not suggesting, poor soul, tonight that everyone will know the depths, that some do, but they all know these sweet tidings. The dying thief knew them in the last moments of his life. You think of the tidings that he heard. The good tidings. There was that dear man enduring the just punishment because of his sin on Calvary's tree beside the Saviour. He could acknowledge that it was just as he deserved and more. But what did he say when he looked at the Saviour? "But this man hath done nothing amiss." He could see in a precious Christ the perfection there was, the suitability. And what does he say? "Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." Is that the prayer of your heart and of mine tonight? And listen to the tidings that he heard, the good tidings from the lips of the Saviour. "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Oh, what a blessed end to his life, wasn't it? Carried straight home to glory. He was among these all, and may we each be found among them. Is it your fervent prayer, what the dear hymn writer said, "With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity"? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Come back to this "you." Oh, may the Holy Spirit whisper this word to our souls. "For unto you is born this day." Unto you. I'll go as far as to say this. You'll be the happiest soul in Swavesey, or the happiest soul in this earth, if the Lord were to tell you this, "For unto you." You may say, "What poor, unworthy me." Yes. "Such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free, for unto you." And this was the sacred message that the angel was to deliver to them. Unto you. You may say, "What, such a wretch as I?" The "unto you." Christ didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners to repentance, we are told, aren't we? Unto you. My late dear grandmother, my father's mother, she was 23 when the Lord called her by grace. And he brought her to feel so much her wretchedness and sin that she walked down the road and she looked at the cattle feeding in the field and she said, "I envied them because they got no soul." And she said, "I felt such a wretched, vile sinner. I felt condemned by the Lord, condemned by the law, and feared that Satan would destroy me." And she said, "I envied those cattle." But you know, the Lord came and he removed all that sin and all that guilt, and he set the dear woman at liberty. And she said, you know, I walked down the same road. He says, she said, I saw the same cattle in the field. She said, I didn't envy them then. She said, I bless the Lord that he had so come with the tidings and told me that I was his. Oh, think of those sweet tidings that are sweetly recorded in Isaiah, in that beautiful declaration of heaven. And listen, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day. The day had come, you see. There's the day when the Lord will sweetly speak to his dear children, when he will sweetly reveal himself to them. And this was the day with these shepherds. For unto you is born this day a Saviour, in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. A Saviour that can redeem you from all sin, from all evil, from all the enemies within and without, and the great enemy of souls. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end, which is Christ the Lord. Now, as we leave it, have we a blessed interest in this word? Do we long for it in our own souls? Do we long to receive the sweet blessing and token which the Lord gave to these shepherds? Well, poor soul, go on seeking for it. Give him no rest until the Lord favour you with it. And may it be this day. You see, go back to Calvary. He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here it is, for unto you is born this day. We read in the Psalms, don't we? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day, and this is the day you're long to know for yourself, the day when the Lord assures you you're his, and that he came and suffered, bled and died for you, the day when he put away all your sin, and the day where he assured you be with him in glory at last. The dear hymn writer said, my soul anticipates the day, would mount up on wings and fly away to joys beyond the skies. Well, I've just scratched the surface. May the Holy Spirit apply these sacred verses to our souls, and may we be helped to give him all the praise. The benefit truly is ours, isn't it? But the glory belongs unto him. And you know, those shepherds could sound forth his praise, couldn't they? And so did the angels descending from heaven could say, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Timothy Rosier on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with the second part of hymn 803. And did the darling Son of God for sinners deign to bleed, the purchase of that precious blood must needs be rich indeed. Hymn 803, part 2.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the points. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.